The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So it was before Kelsey and I had started dating, so it was, I don't know, quite a few years ago. It was probably, 4:13, carry the one. It was probably 15 years ago. And my parents lived in Florida, and they had this event at their church called Walk Through Bethlehem, and they would reconstruct the city of Bethlehem outside their city, or outside their church. And people would come and walk through, and I was living in Tennessee at the time. And I decided I was going to come back and be a part of their walk through Bethlehem. So I got in my truck and I drove 8 hours from Tennessee all the way to Florida. I did whatever mom asked me to do that year. They needed a Jesus because the Jesus they had didn't want to hang on the cross because it was too cold. So they put me in a loincloth and put me on a cross. Thanks a lot for that. All the cold jobs I had to do and stuff like that. Well, then my oldest brother, Matt, comes in. And Matt comes in, and one little goat got loose in a country city and was running around the city, around the church, and Matt captured the goat and put him back in his kennel or his little pen. And mom went on and on about how Matt had saved Christmas because he captured the goat. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I drove 8 hours to hang on a cross in a loincloth, and you're impressed that he saved a goat? And so the joke in our family always goes like this. Someone always ruins Christmas so that Matt can come in and save Christmas, right? So this morning, and Matt's the oldest, in case you're any of you that aren't the oldest in the room, you know, the oldest one always saves the day. Stinking kids. this morning, I'm going to ruin Christmas for you. So if I do, just, hey, listen, you can throw all that dislike and hate at me and shade. That's fine. We're going to talk about the three wise men this morning. The wise men. Because we don't actually know that there were three. We assume that there were three because there were three gifts given. And we're going to look at their story real quick. But I want to take just a little bit of a slight different look at their story, if that's all right. If you'll indulge me just some time this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 2 is where we find their story. Their story looks like this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. They ask, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people, his chief priests and their teachers of the law, he asked, "Where is the Messiah to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea." They replied, "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi back secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child and his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, it's interesting to me in all the people of all the different stories that take place at Christmas that these guys get their own. I mean, they're not the star of the show. We know baby Jesus is the star of the show. But I mean, like, think about it. Every nativity, everything you see, there's always, we've got a little people nativity in our house that, like, for little people, you know what I'm talking about? It's either got a Joseph or a shepherd. It doesn't got both. You got to pick which one it is. But by golly, it's got three wise men. Every nativity you see has these three wise men, has these guys. And it's interesting to me because what we know about them is so very, very little. We only have 12 verses of the entire Bible is dedicated to these guys. But everyone knows about them, right? We were searching some stuff this week and found out that, like, according to National Geographic, we know their names. I don't know how National Geographic knows their names. I don't think they were around back then. But, like, there's so much attention given to these guys. And so this morning, just real quick, I want to look at what we do know about them. We know they came with good intentions. When you read verse 2, it says this: they came to worship this king. Now, again, I'm going to ruin Christmas for you, and I'm so, so sorry. What's that mean? They came to worship. Do you think these guys came with the intention of, hey, listen, we're going to go see the Savior of the world? Or maybe, just maybe, when you do some research and find out who these guys were, they were from the Babylonian, the Assyrian Empire. They were probably people who had read writings of Daniel, because Daniel was a wise man when he was in Babylonian captivity. So they probably read Daniel's writings. They knew that there was supposed to be a Messiah, a Savior, who was supposed to come and free the Jewish people from oppression. And that's the person they came to see. Now, if I'm a neighboring empire and there's a new king born over here, what's the smart thing for me to do? Huh?
Check out the competition.
Go check out the competition, right? Hey, listen, I'm either going to make friends with this guy, we're going to make an alliance with them, I'm going to give them some gifts so that if this actually happens and they overthrow Rome, we're on their good side. See, we know that their intentions were to come into worship. We just don't know how far that worship went. But they came with good intentions. The second thing we know about them is that they continued their journey. They stayed true to their journey. In verses, I think it's 8, or I'm sorry, 9 and 10, it talks about how after they came, they continued to press on. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went to the one city where I thought a king was supposed to be, and I met the king at the time, and he kind of came to me and had some secret plans, and all this kind of crazy stuff was going on, I don't know if I'm continuing my journey after that. If it was me, at that point, I might pack up and head home and say, hey, listen, you know what, guys? We gave it the old college try. No king here. Let's just go back east. Because whatever's going on here is probably not the best situation for us to be in. But that's not what they did. They continued. They stayed true. And not only did they stay true, but after they left Jerusalem, after they left Herod's presence, they went out, they saw the star, and they continued on with joy. They were overjoyed that they had the chance to continue on. We know that their journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem was only about 5 to 7 miles. Didn't take that long. But their total journey took probably about 6 months for them to get to this point. That's some dedication and commitment. When's the last time you were committed to anything for longer than 6 months? Yeah, that's a tough thing to commit to. I would say we talk about playing. I used to do adult sports leagues, and I hated it because about adult sports leagues, everybody started out, everybody was ready to play, right? You'd have 45 people show up to play adult league softball. I don't know why guys like hitting little balls that people pitched in their slow molasses so you can hit it. But it's enjoyable, I guess. And then we'd have tons of people show up, but by the end of the season, nobody was there. Because you can't get people to commit to anything that's longer than 3 months. These guys committed to this journey for 6 months. Not only that, they stayed true to it, they continued on. The third thing we know about them is this: they came humbly. Now, can you imagine? You're a pretty big somebody. You know, you have the ear of the king of your country. You give him advice. You give him wisdom. You come to Jerusalem. You're entered into the palace. You have a private session with the ruler of Jerusalem and Judea, Herod. And all of a sudden, you leave there. You go to this little kind of smelly town that's known for their sheep. You're ushered into this house where there's a carpenter and a baby. Hey, I'm out, man. I don't know if I'm going to stick around for this. But that's not what they did. Even when they got all the way to that point, it says they came and they bowed down and they worshiped him. There was this humility about their coming. They came humbly. The other thing we know about him is they gave everything they had. Or they gave from what they had. We don't know exactly what all they gave or how much they actually had, but we know that they specifically gave three gifts. They gave intentionally as part of their worship. They gave intentionally as part of their paying homage or tribute to this new king. The last thing we know about them is this: they went home. Now, 12 verses. That's their story. having heard in a dream not to go back to Herod, they went home a different way. We have 12 verses of these guys' story. And let me ask you this. During the 12 verses, let's say this is the wise men's life. What do they do? Perfect answer, Miss Ann. Thank you so much. They worshiped, right? So as far as we know, during the entire life of the wise men, because we only have 12 verses that tell us their life, the entire life they worshiped a king. Now, this is where kind of Christmas got ruined for me. Because I started thinking about these guys. And I said, how did they go home? Because we're not told. We know they went a different route. That's good. They didn't go the same way they came. But that just means they went a different direction. You ever think maybe they went away disappointed because this wasn't the king that they were expecting? If they came looking for a political ally, someone who was going to team up with them to combat Rome, and they see a baby in a carpenter's house in a stinky sheep town of Bethlehem, hey, listen, we're here. We'll give you what we brought. Here's our gifts. Here's our homage. But this isn't at all what we were signing up for. I wonder if they went back disappointed because he wasn't what they were expecting. I wonder if they went back maybe, grateful, but the exact same. You realize everything that God did to get them to this point? There was a miraculous star that somehow, I don't know if anybody ever gone outside at night and been lost? Coon hunting, maybe, Jim Tom? Yeah. I know, I've heard it. If you follow a star, it's going to take you to the exact right spot. There's some play there. And so for these guys to be able to follow a star to the exact right spot that led them to Jesus, that's a pretty miraculous thing. It says that after they had met with Herod and they met with Jesus, they were told in a dream. Somebody came to them in a dream and said to them, hey, don't go back to Herod. Not a safe thing to do. God's hand was all over this process of them coming to see Jesus. So maybe they were grateful, but there wasn't really any big change in their life. Maybe they went back excited about the future. Hey, when this king, I don't know how this happened, but when this king gets bigger, when he grows up, when he gets some hair on his chest and he becomes a man, this is going to be interesting stuff. But no big deal right now. No difference right now. I wonder if they went back home completely changed forever. Now, let me just share with you, that's every single one of us. You're wise men and women this morning. Hey, some of you write that down. This is the first time your wife's ever going to tell you that. Preacher said I'm a wise man this morning. Here's why. Every Sunday, every Christmas, every time you come in this portion of time, this sanctuary, this worship service, just because of the fact that you and I have an opportunity to have a relationship with a God in heaven who loves him through his son, Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to experience God's presence with us. We get to encounter Jesus whenever we want to. But the thing about these wise men is we don't know how they left. And while all we know about their life is that they worshiped, I wonder if we can worship our whole life and still miss a relationship with Jesus. See, church, I wonder if they missed the point. Over in Matthew 1:21, it talks about how they'll give birth to a son, she'll call his name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. I wonder if these wise men, when they came, when they worshiped, when they bowed, when they gave him their presence, if they realized that it wasn't just a political alliance that they were looking at, if it wasn't just the next king that was going to help them out, but if their sins could be forgiven through the baby that sat there in front of them. If not, then unfortunately these three or four or five or however many wise guys there were, they came and they worshiped, but they missed the entire point of what Jesus was about. And it scares me for a lot of people that come to our churches over Christmas season. Because they come, they worship, they sit in the pews, they sing the carols, they sing the songs, they celebrate the manger, they celebrate the birth. But they don't realize the forgiveness of sin that's offered there. They spend their whole life worshiping the baby in the manger and never realize that it's the same Savior who hung on a cross to forgive their sins and rose from the grave 3 days later. Church, my challenge, my hope for you this Christmas season is this. Yes, we want to come and we want to worship the King for who He is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. In the process of this, Kelsey asked me, she said, John, why in the world would this story be in there? If these guys, if they never had a relationship with Jesus, if nothing changed in their life, if nothing went away, why in the world would this story be in there? I think two reasons. The first reason I think is this, is because God wanted us to know all along that His salvation was not just to the Jewish people, but was for everyone. It was worldwide salvation is what His intended purpose was from the very beginning. And so He needed guys from way far away to come and to worship a King who they would never have a relationship with because they were least invited to the party. The second reason is because I think of this. I think God knew that there were going to be so many people who would celebrate the birth of Jesus, who would worship during Christmas time, but would completely miss the relationship aspect of it. My prayer for you and your family and those that you come in contact with this Christmas season is this. You won't miss the relationship. When you come and you worship, it will be genuine. It will be heartfelt. It will be worshiping Him for who He is, the Savior of the world. God, I thank You so much for who You are. Lord, I thank You that You are the Savior of all humanity. God, that when You came and You died on the cross, You didn't just die for a few. You didn't just die for the good ones. You didn't just die for the lucky ones. God, You died for every single one of us. Because every single one of us is a sinner in need of Your grace. So God, this morning I pray that as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the joy of the season, we celebrate what it means that You loved us enough to come to have Your Son die for us. Lord, that we would worship You for who You are. God, we wouldn't just celebrate Your birth, but we would see the entire picture. You came to die to forgive our sins so that we could have a relationship with You. Father, if there's someone in the room this morning who may not know that, yeah, they've heard that, but it's just never clicked. They've maybe spent their whole lives worshiping the concept of Jesus or the idea of Jesus or the birth of a Savior. But Father, they never put together the pieces that He came to die to forgive their sins. And they've never entered into a relationship with You. Lord, my prayer is that during this time of invitation, they would come. They would ask questions. They would find out how they can have a relationship with You through Your Son Jesus and what He did on the cross. Lord, and that this Christmas season for them would be forever changed. And they would go home completely different than they came to this worship service today. Lord, we love You and thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.